sing all together, My Jesus.
Father, you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor, all the praise, all the worship, all the adoration. We come tonight, this very day, this very moment, to say thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Indeed, you are our Father and our fighter. There is not a battle that you will not take on, because you said in your word that we seated in Christ Jesus shall sit at your right hand, sit until you make every enemy our footstool. Well, thank you, Lord, O God, that this day your exalted name is working on our behalf. You have gone ahead of us, and you've taken on every battle. We rest in your peace, because you are God who has greatly helped us. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. Tonight, I want to explore with us from the passage of Scripture found in Psalm 86 and verse 17. Psalm 86 and verse 17, I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go to verse 1 through 7 and skip back to this particular verse. It says, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. This morning we talked about this special woman called Leah, a name meant weary. She was not loved by her husband, Jacob. She was put aside, was not communicated with much. And as we read through this word of God found in Genesis, we found out how indifferent Jacob was to her. How it was that Jacob did not spend much time with her. But every time she had an opportunity, she had a home run. She didn't play that much, but every opportunity was a home run for her. She produced a son. And every time she celebrated, the Bible never tells us that she was a nagging woman. Says nothing really bad about this woman, Leah. She stayed true to her marriage. She was committed to her husband. She loved him, even though he did not express the same towards her. She was greatly challenged. A woman like this is rarely found. She was a precious woman. And through her, 8 of the tribes of Israel were established. Through her, the Levitical priesthood came about. Through her, Judah, through whose lineage Jesus came from, came through her. God had greatly helped her. The Bible says, "Show me a token for good. Show me a token for good. Give me a sign to encourage me that it is well with my soul." I don't know what issues you and I may be going through, what challenges there might be before us, but it is good to know that we can ask God and say, "Show me a sign that you're with me." Because so many times you can look at life and say, "Where is God in all of this? Where am I going to get help from? How am I going to get through this particular situation?" And we can live in the world of worry, overwhelmed with care, not understanding what tomorrow might bring, because today is not looking that good. And in those difficult times, when it seems like the heavens have been shut for so long, there comes something that encourages you. It says to you, just keep on going. Just keep on going. And that's what the psalmist cries out for here. He says, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed." They need to see that you have not forsaken me, that your promise is still true. You see, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. The word ashamed there is the word bush. Bush. Let them become pale. Let it just be like The blood ran off their face. They become pale. Let us see the blessing on my life and say, what is happening here? How did he get out of this mess? We thought we had him all circled, that he's been ambushed. But we find out that we are the one that have been bushed. Let those that hate me, that don't want my progress in life, let them be ashamed. Why? Because thou, Lord, has holpen or helped me, and you, God, have comforted me. The irony of this passage is found in the very early parts of this chapter. In verse 1, he says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. He says, Lord, bow down your ear and hear me, because I am poor and I'm needy. I have issues. But the interesting statement is this. It says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. Huh? O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. I trust in you. I am holy, but I'm poor and I'm needy. Those two things should not work together. That you are a child of God, that you are walking in holiness, pursuing the things of God, you love God with all of your heart, and here you are, poor and needy, doing all the right things, but you're poor and needy. And people can boldly look at you and say, where's your God? Every day you're in church. Yeah. Every time I see you, you're singing, you're clapping, you're saying, hallelujah, praise God, I'm blessed and highly favored. Look at you. Where is the blessed and highly favored here? We don't see it. But you're walking in holiness. So the man of God cries and says, preserve my soul. I am struggling here. I am struggling because I know what the truth is. I know I'm pursuing after it. I'm doing the very best that I can, but I need help here. I need some encouragement. I need help because I'm losing my grip. I'm holding on as long as I can, but I'm losing my grip. I need you to strengthen me. I need help here. I need help. Because this holiness thing is not working for me right now. And I'm looking at your word and I'm not mirroring your word. I'm not reflecting what your word says. God, I need help. You are the one that I trust in. I don't have any trust on any other. I have no other gods besides you and Lord God Almighty. But yet things are not happening for me. So please be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I'm crying out to you. I need help. Have mercy on me. You're a Jehoshaphat. You're living for God. You're doing everything that you know how to do. And here four enemies come and they surround you. And they want to take you out. You're scared witless. Because your army is not as large as theirs. What do you do? He goes to God and says, God, you promised us this land, and here they want to kick us out of the land that you've promised. What do I do? prophetic word comes to him, and he takes a hold of that prophetic word, and he puts a praise and worship team in front of his army. And they began to sing unto God in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He had given a word. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophet, so shall you prosper. And puts this choir in front of him, and they are singing about the mercies of God. The mercy of God. For his mercy endureth forever. I don't know the words of this song, but as I was coming, I heard it in my spirit. It was sung by Andre Crouch. For the Lord is good, 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 and his mercies endureth forever. For the Lord is good, 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 and his mercies endureth forever. And as they were singing that song, God turned the enemy against themselves. They began to fight against themselves, and when they wiped out one particular group, they turned against themselves and they wiped each other out. They destroyed themselves. Why? The people of God trusted in the mercies of God. When things are hard and things are tough, what must I do? I must begin to sing praises to the Lord. And the Bible says, and the Lord set ambushments. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 22, set ambushments. That's not just one ambush. Many. Against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So the way God helped them was to cause their enemies to fight against each other and cancel themselves out. May God set an ambushments against every enemy that have set themselves against you, set themselves against me, set themselves against the church of Jesus Christ, and cause them to destroy each other. Hallelujah. You and I do not know how many enemies we may have, but there they are. Here the word of God says in Psalm 86, it says, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. How do you do that? You do that by worship. You do that by praising. You do that by singing unto the Lord. You do that by releasing a shout of triumph unto the Lord. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. How do I do that? By meditating on the word of God. Reminding myself of the word of God. You say, but I know the word of God already, and that's not happening for me. Continue in my word. So the word of God says, it says, if you're disciples indeed, you will continue in my word. And you will know the truth. and the truth shall set or make you free. It's about continuity. Following through. Continuing in faith, believing. When whatever it is that you know should be doesn't seem to be happening. Everybody faces that kind of challenge at some point. You know what the Word of God says. You trust in it. You believe in it. And then you come to check the harvest, and there is nothing. And you look at yourself and say, did I do something wrong? Is there some principle I don't know? But you check and say, I followed this principle. I followed this. I followed that. I did this. I did that. I'm not holding any grudge against anybody. Why is God not hearing me? So the man of God cries out in verse 1, bow down your ears, please. If you're too far, just bend down a little bit so you can hear me, please. Somebody help me here. Because this is not going very well. I'm giving, but I'm poor and needy. How can I be a giver and be poor and needy? When your word says, if I give, it shall be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into my bosom. Everybody, men shall bring into my bosom. Where are the people? They're not here. They hate me. But I love them. I'm trying to help, and they're rejecting me. God, what can I do? What can I do? And in the midst of his complaint, he goes back to the one thing that he knows. I know God. I know God is good. You're a good God. And a God who is ready to forgive. If there's anything I've done wrong that I don't know about, you're a God who is ready to forgive. And you are plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So God, I'm not going anywhere. I don't know anywhere else to go. And even if I knew somewhere else to go, I am choosing not to go there. I have no plan B. I only have one plan. And that's you. Do you have that at the very core of your person? There is no other name given amongst men by whom we can be saved, delivered, set free, redeemed. I know no other name other than the name of Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, I call to you. I need help. My grip is about to break. And if my grip is lost, I am going to fall so far down, there will not be a piece of me that is together. I need your help now. What do you do when the people that you thought will be the blessing in your life step away? Without warning. They just cut you off. What do you do? What do you do when the ones that you have loved, poured yourself into, tell you, I don't want to ever hear from you ever again? What do you do? What you do is you look unto the Lord your God, and remind yourself once again, the Lord my God is good, and his mercies endure forever. Lord, it's just you and me. And you better not be hiding from me. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ found himself on the cross. And it looked like God was not there. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not a fun place to be. But it's a place that many times we may find ourselves in when what you know and what you believe is not aligning and you're confused. It is not more of the doing of the same that changes anything, because it's not about the principles. You can do all the principles, know all the keys of the kingdom, and nothing happens. You go to this brother or man of God, and you say, go on a 10-day fast. Go on a 21-day fast. Go on a 40-day fast. You finish all of those fasts, and still nothing. Go read this scripture. They give you a nice prescription. Read this verse and this chapter, and you do it, and still nothing. Still nothing. Is there a God, or is there no God, and I'm believing in something that is not true? If the truth be known, God brings every one of us to that point. To one degree or the other. And the incredible thing that I've experienced through the years is that when you have come to that place, you hear God not the way you're expecting him to be heard. You hear God asking you, do you still love me? What kind of question is that? This is what I'm looking for. You're asking me if I love you? You've not been here lately for me, and you're asking me if I love you? Say, yeah, that's what I'm asking you. Do you still love me? Yeah, I still love you. And that's when things flip to the other side. Because the love, the seed that God sowed, and every seed must produce after its kind, the seed that God sowed for my life is the seed of his agape love. It's the love that is shown in spite of. It has nothing to do with what you are or what you will do. It's just, I just love you, period. And that's the seed God sowed. And God will bring you to that place where you have to produce the fruit from that seed, which is, I love you, period. I just love you. It's not because of anything you did for me or will do for me. I just love you, period. Full stop. And that's the place that God brings you to, so that the devil has no power or control over your life. Because now your relationship with God is not about things. It's about him. It's about him. I just want God. I just want to know your presence. And if the truth be known, the one thing that we must always have is the presence of God. To know that he is at hand and that our pursuit is to just worship him in spirit and in truth. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Do you see what is happening here? He has crushed the power of doubt. He has crushed the power and the influence of not having what he thought he should have, and believed in God in spite of his experiences. He says, I know you, God. I know you're good. I know you're merciful. I know that when I ask, you're going to hear me. There is not any difference, no space between you and me. We are together. Whether you like it or not, God, we are together. That's where he is at. And he says, I know you're going to answer me. When I face trouble, I'm going to call on you. You're going to answer me. That's what's going to happen, because you're not deaf. You're not blind. You can see everything. Leah said, you see me, you've provided me, behold the sun. And she says, you have heard me. You've heard me. God, see me. God, hear me. God, do something. He says, I know something. There is no one like you. Oh, they may say they have other gods, but there is no one like you. And there are no works like unto thy works. What is he doing? He's praising. He's worshiping. He says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. God, I know you are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory. And not just me coming to worship you. All nations are coming. Everybody's going to come and worship you. Why? Because you are great. And you do wondrous things. You alone are God. There's no other God besides you. And everybody's going to worship you. So, Lord, if I'm making any mistakes, he says, teach me thy way. Teach me. I want to know how to get to you, how to come to you, how to approach you. Oh, God, teach me thy way. Oh, Lord, I will walk in thy truth. I'm going to continue in the word of truth, the truth that will set me free. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Lord, I've been a scattered brain. My heart is here, my heart is there because of all the pressure. It says, put me together, put me together, put me together. I want to have one heart, one mind following you through all of this. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart because it is together. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy towards me. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. He's prophesying. He starts out, I am poor and I'm needy. And now he's talking about amazing things in his life. What do you and I do? It's not an issue that you had a complaint. But have you made yourself a complainer general and stayed there? Or have you moved past that place and started to glorify God and magnify His name? And then start prophesying about what you want to see happen. The nations are coming. God, you're great, and you've delivered my soul from the lowest hell. I've hit the lowest point, and you've delivered my soul from that mess. Why? Because thou, Lord, O God, you are full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. What is he doing? He's proclaiming that the lines of iniquity in his life, those old patterns, are being erased. They've been purged. They've been removed. And he's not going to continue in that old pattern. For by mercy and truth our iniquities purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from that which is evil. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant. Give thy strength. Lord, strengthen me to hold on and save the son of thine handmaid. Give me a sign. Give me a sign that you are with me. Wait a minute, David. I thought you were just prophesying about the amazing things that are going to happen in your life, that this is going to happen. He said, yeah, I prophesied it. It's going to come to pass. But between here and there, I need your strength. Hallelujah. I need your strength to be able to catch up with our prophetic word that's been sent ahead. I need your strength. So show me a token for good. That those that hate me and expecting me to fail, expecting me to fall, expecting me to fall apart, expecting me to lose out, expecting me to die, they will see me and be ashamed. Because, God, you have helped me. In Psalm 86, or rather Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, we hear the word of the Lord. Hebrews 13, 6. He says, we are going to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Men may want to do something to me, but I will not fear. I will not be afraid of what man intends to do. Why? Because the Lord is my helper. God will help me through the dark days. In Psalm 54 and verse 4. It says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Not only is God my helper directly, he's going to bring people that are going to speak into my life and uphold me. Because sometimes it is not just about you encouraging yourself in the Lord. You need people who are going to help you fight to bring back whatever it is that you have lost. Hallelujah. The Lord is with them. Not just with me. God is going to be with the people that are going to help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118 and verse 7. Psalm 118 and verse 7. He says, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. God is going to send me help. Hallelujah. Rise with me for a moment. As you can see, when God helps you and I, He helps us with people. As you look through the Word of God, that's why the Word of God says Jesus grew in wisdom, grew in stature, and grew in finding favor with God and with men. We need men. Praise the Lord. Men are the ones that will be used by the enemy to hurt you. But men are what God will also use to establish you, to promote you. So I want you to make this declaration with me. Father, I declare your praise out of a pure heart. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness and work of redemption that you have established for my soul. Lord, I thank you that you're my present help in the time of trouble. And I thank you, Father, that you have given men to help me. So now, by the authority of your word, I call for men, women, children, whoever it is that you have given grace to help me. I call them to come to me now. Come to me now. Helpers, come to me now. Destiny helpers, come to me now. In the mighty name of Jesus, come, 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 come from the north, come from the east, come from the west, come from the south, come, come. Locate me now and help me now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. May the God of heaven send you help. May the God of heaven help us as a church, as his people, and may we flourish, blossom, prosper because of the help that he has sent. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
It's still relevant to today because the word never changes. And we can depend on this word that he preached. If it's going to be heard 100 years from now, it's still going to be relevant. That God is on your side. God wants to help you. God sometimes tests you by hiding a little bit. Doesn't always answer your prayers right now. But he wants to see how you're going to react. There are tests in our lives. There's been tests in my life. And basically, you know what? If you fail your test, he'll just put you through it again at one point or another. But he will never leave you nor forsake you. You can rest on that. You can trust God to be a true God, a God that honors what he says, what he honors who he is. He cannot lie, and if you take the word and show him the word, you cannot lie, Father God. But and you do that in love, always in love.